Rule 113, Arrest. This is by the Book of Gobat. Section 1, Definition of Arrest. Arrest is the taking of a person into custody in order that he may be bound to answer for the commission of an offense. Section 2, Arrest. How made? An arrest is made by an actual restraint of a person to be arrested, or by his submission to the custody of the person making the arrest. No violence or unnecessary force shall be used in making an arrest. The person arrested shall not be subject to a greater restraint than is necessary for his detention. Annotations. Arrest defined. Arrest is the taking of a person into custody in order that he may be bound to answer for the commission of an offense. That is Section 1, Rule 113. It is the taking under real or assumed authority, custody of another, for the purpose of holding or detaining him to answer a criminal charge or civil demand. Constitutional guarantee against unreasonable searches and seizures. The Constitution prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures. It does provide that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures of whatever nature and for any purpose shall be inviolable, and no search warrant or warrant of arrest shall issue except upon probable cause to be determined personally by the judge after examination under oath or affirmation of the complainant and the witnesses he may produce, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That is from Section 2, Article 2 of the Constitution. To forestall any infringement against this guarantee, the fundamental law ensures that any evidence obtained in violation thereof shall be inadmissible for any purpose in any proceeding. Remedies against illegal arrest. When a person has been illegally arrested and detained, he may avail of the following remedies, viz. Number 1, he or any person in his behalf may file a verified petition for habeas corpus before the proper court if no complaint or information is filed against him in court. Section 1, 2, and 3, Rule 102 of the Rules of Court. Number 2, he may apply for bail with any court in the province, city, or municipality where he is held. Section 17, Rule 114. Number 3, he may, if a complaint against him is commenced before the proper officer for inquest and investigation, ask for a regular preliminary investigation and raise the issue of his illegal arrest. Section 7, Rule 112. Number 4, he may, if a complaint or information is filed against him in court for an offense requiring preliminary investigation, ask for a preliminary investigation within 5 days from the time he learns of its filing. Number 5, he may, before entering his plea, move to quash the complaint or information on the ground that the court has no jurisdiction over his person. Section 3C, Rule 117. When illegality of arrest waived. It is settled that any objection involving a warrant of arrest or procedure in the acquisition by the court of jurisdiction over the person of an accused must be made before he enters his plea, otherwise the objection is deemed waived. The defects in the arrest are cured by accused voluntary submission to the jurisdiction of the trial court when he enters his plea during arraignment and when he actively participates in the trial without raising those defects. By entering a plea of not guilty and actively participating in the trial, accused waives his right to raise the issue of the illegality of his arrest. It is therefore hornbook knowledge that any irregularity attending the arrest of an accused is deemed waived when, instead of quashing the information for lack of jurisdiction over his person, the accused voluntarily submits himself to the court by entering a plea of guilty or not guilty during the arraignment and participating in the proceedings. In a case appellant's arrest on suspicion that he was involved in the killing of Charlie Fernandez was made almost 3 months after the commission of the crime and only after he had been taken in police custody for a minor offense. As such, because no warrant had been obtained during the 3-month intervening period between the commission of the crime and his apprehension, his arrest would have been ordinarily rendered unconstitutional and illegal. It was, however, held that appellant is stopped from questioning the legality of his arrest, considering that he never raised this before entering his plea. Consequently, any irregularity attendant to his arrest, if any, had been cured by his voluntary submission to the jurisdiction of the trial court when he entered his plea and participated in the trial. Verily, the illegal arrest of appellant is not a sufficient cause for setting aside a valid judgment rendered upon a sufficient complaint and where the trial was free from error. Validating unlawful warrantless arrest. The filing of charges and the issuance of the warrant of arrest against a person invalidly detained will cure the defect of that detention or at least deny him the right to be released because of such defect. Thus, it was held in a case that although the original warrantless arrest of the petitioner was doubtless illegal, nevertheless, the regional trial court lawfully acquired jurisdiction over the person of the petitioner by virtue of the warrant of arrest it issued on August 26, 1993 against him and other accused in connection with the rape slay cases. It was belated to be sure, but it was nonetheless legal. What constitutes voluntary submission? When the accused entered a plea on arraignment without invoking his right to question any irregularity which might have accompanied his arrest, he voluntarily submitted himself to the jurisdiction of the court and the judicial process. Any objection, defect, or irregularity attending his arrest should be made before he enters his plea. Illegal arrest does not invalidate judgment. It should be noted that the illegality of arrest affects only the jurisdiction of the court over the person of the accused, as in the case of People versus Abapo. Consequently, if objection on such ground is waived, the illegality of the arrest is not sufficient reason for setting aside an otherwise valid judgment rendered after trial, free from error. Such arrest does not negate the validity of the conviction of the accused, because the technicality cannot render the subsequent proceedings void and deprive the state of its right to convict the guilty when the facts on the record point to the culpability of the accused. Hence, in a case, the High Court reiterated the rule that even if the accused was illegally arrested, it would not affect his culpability since an allegation of a warrantless arrest could not deprive the state of its right to convict the guilty when all the facts on the record pointed to his guilt. Section 3. Duty of arresting officer. It shall be the duty of the officer executing the warrant to arrest the accused and deliver him to the nearest police station or jail without unnecessary delay. Section 4. Execution of warrant. The head of the office to whom the warrant of arrest was delivered for execution shall cause the warrant to be executed within 10 days from its receipt. Within 10 days after the expiration of the period, the officer to whom it was assigned for execution shall make a report to the judge who issued the warrant. In case of his failure to execute the warrant, he shall state the reasons therefor. Annotations. Lifetime of the warrant of arrest. The rules did not fix the lifetime of the warrant of arrest. It should remain valid and effective so long as it has not been recalled or the person named therein has not been arrested or has not submitted himself to the jurisdiction of the court. The validity of the warrant continues even if the officer assigned to execute it has made a negative return to the issuing court. Duties of the arresting officer. Duty to inform the arrested person. At the time a person is arrested, it shall be the duty of the arresting officer to inform him of the reason for the arrest and he must be shown the warrant of arrest, if any. He shall be informed of his constitutional rights to remain silent and to counsel and that any statement he might make could be used against him. The person arrested shall have the right to communicate with his lawyer, a relative, or anyone he chooses by the most expedient means, by telephone if possible, or by letter or messenger. It shall be the responsibility of the arresting officer to see to it that this is accomplished. It is settled that one's right to be informed of the right to remain silent and to counsel contemplates the transmission of meaningful information rather than just the ceremonial and perfunctory recitation of an abstract constitutional principle. It is not enough for the interrogator to merely repeat to the person under investigation the provisions of Section 12, Article 3 of the 1987 Constitution. The former must also explain the effects of such provision in practical terms. Example, what the person under interrogation may or may not do, and in a language the subject fairly understands. The right to be informed carries with it a correlative obligation on the part of the police investigator to explain and contemplates effective communication which results in the subject's understanding of what is conveyed. Since it is comprehension that is sought to be attained, the degree of explanation required will necessarily vary and depend on the education, intelligence, and other relevant personal circumstances of the person undergoing investigation. Duty to deliver to jail or police station. It is also the duty of the arresting officer to deliver the person arrested to the nearest police station or jail without unnecessary delay, that is from Section 3, Rule 113. Failure of the arresting officer to deliver the person arrested in due time may subject him to the provisions of Article 125 of the Revised Penal Code. The Miranda rights updated in accordance with the Constitution, Jurisprudence and Republic Act No. 7438, the procedure guidelines and duties which the arresting, detaining, inviting, or investigating officer or his companions must do and observe at the time of making an arrest and again at and during the time of the custodial interrogation follows. Number 1. The person arrested, detained, invited, or under custodial investigation must be informed in a language known to and understood by him of the reason for the arrest, and he must be shown the warrant of arrest, if any. Every other warnings, information, or communication must be in a language known to and understood by said person. Number 2. He must be warned that he has a right to remain silent and that any statement he makes may be used as evidence against him. Number 3, he must be informed that he has the right to be assisted at all times and have the presence of an independent and competent lawyer, preferably of his own choice. Number 4, he must be informed that if he has no lawyer or cannot afford the services of a lawyer, one will be provided for him and that a lawyer may also be engaged by any person in his behalf, or may be appointed by the court upon petition of the person arrested or one acting in his behalf. Number 5, that whether or not the person arrested has a lawyer, he must be informed that no custodial investigation in any form shall be conducted except in the presence of his counsel or after a valid waiver has been made. Number 6, the person arrested must be informed that at any time he has the right to communicate or confer by the most expedient means, telephone, radio, letter, or messenger, with his lawyer, either retained or appointed, any member of his immediate family, or any medical doctor, priest, or minister chosen by him, or by anyone from his immediate family or by his counsel, or be visited by confer with duly accredited national or international non-government organization. It shall be the responsibility of the officer to ensure that this is accomplished. Number 7, he must be informed that he has the right to waive any of the said rights provided it is made voluntarily, knowingly, and intelligently, and ensure that he understood the same. Number 8, in addition, if the person arrested waives his right to a lawyer, he must be informed that it must be done in writing and in the presence of counsel. Otherwise, he must be warned that the waiver is void, even if he insists on his waiver and chooses to speak. Number 9, that the person arrested must be informed that he may indicate in any manner, at any time or stage of the process, that he does not wish to be questioned, with warning that once he makes such indication, the police may not interrogate him if the same had not yet commenced, or the interrogation must cease if it has already begun. Number 10, the person arrested must be informed that his initial waiver of his right to remain silent, the right to counsel, or any of his right does not bar him from invoking it at any time during the process, regardless of whether he may have answered some questions or volunteered some statements. Number 11, he must also be informed that any statement or evidence, as the case may be, obtained in violation of any of the foregoing, whether inculpatory or exculpatory, in whole or in part, shall be inadmissible in evidence. These are the so-called Miranda rights, which were updated by the Supreme Court in the light of new legal developments.
Now, penal sanctions against non-compliance with the Miranda rights. RA number 7438 provides the following penal sanctions. Any arresting of public officer or employee or any investigating officer who fails to inform any person arrested, detained, or under custodial investigation of his right to remain silent and to a competent and independent counsel, preferably of his own choice, shall suffer a fine of 6,000 pesos or a penalty of imprisonment of not less than 8 years but not more than 10 years or both. The penalty of perpetual absolute disqualification also shall also be imposed upon the investigating officer who has been previously convicted of a similar offense. The same penalty shall be imposed upon a public officer or employee or anyone acting upon orders of such investigating officer in his place who fails to provide a competent and independent counsel to a person arrested, detained, or under custodial investigation for the commission of an offense if the latter cannot afford the services of his own counsel. On the other hand, the penalties provided in Article 124 of the Revised Penal Code shall be imposed upon the public officer or employee who shall detain any person for some legal ground and shall fail to deliver such person to the proper judicial authorities within the period of 12 hours for crimes or offenses punishable by light penalties or their equivalent, 18 hours for crimes or offenses punishable by correctional penalties or their equivalent, and 36 hours for crimes or offense punishable by afflictive or capital penalties or their equivalent. That's according to Article 125 of the Revised Penal Code. Now let's go to Section 5 of the Rule 113, Arrest Without Warrant, when lawful. A peace officer or a private person may without a warrant arrest a person. Letter A, when in his presence the person to be arrested has committed, is actually committing, or is attempting to commit an offense. Letter B, when an offense has just been committed and he has probable cause to believe, based on personal knowledge of facts or circumstances, that the person to be arrested has committed it. And letter C, when the person to be arrested is a prisoner who has escaped from a penal establishment or place where he is serving final judgment or is temporarily confined while his case is pending or has escaped while being transferred from one confinement to another. In cases falling under paragraph A and B above, the person arrested without a warrant shall be forthwith delivered to the nearest police station or jail and shall be proceeded against in accordance with Section 7 of Rule 112. Annotations. The second case, when an arrest may be made lawfully without a warrant, is liberalized. Warrantless arrest defined. Warrantless arrest is the seizure of a person without warrant but based on probable cause that he has committed a felony or has escaped from confinement. Rationale for the rule. The rationale behind lawful arrest without warrant was stated by the Supreme Court in O'Meal v. Ramos as follows. Told that no criminal can in any case be arrested and searched for the evidence and tokens of his crime without a warrant would be to leave society to a large extent at the mercy of the shrewdest, the most expert, and the most depraved of criminals, facilitating their escape in many instances. Permissible warrantless arrest. It is well settled that no arrest, search and seizure can be made without a valid warrant issued by a competent judicial authority. The rules of court, however, recognizes permissible warrantless arrest with number 1, arrest in flagrante delicto, number 2, arrest affected in hot pursuit, and number 3, arrest of escaped prisoner. Part A, arrest in flagrante delicto. Section 5A is commonly referred to as the rule on in flagrante delicto arrests. In case of in flagrante delicto arrests, a peace officer or a private person may without a warrant arrest the person when in his presence the person to be arrested has committed, is actually committing, or is attempting to commit an offense. The arresting officer, therefore, must have personal knowledge of such fact or personal knowledge of facts or circumstances convincingly indicative or constitutive of probable cause. Thus, when an accused is apprehended in flagrante delicto as a result of a bypassed operation, the police are not only authorized but duty-bound to arrest him even without a warrant. Elements of arrest in flagrante delicto. Here, two elements must concur. Number one, the person to be arrested must execute an overt act indicating that he has just committed, is actually committing, or is attempting to commit a crime. And number two, such overt act is done in the presence or within the view of the arresting officer or person. It must be stressed that presence does not only require that the arresting person sees the offense, but also when he hears the disturbance created thereby and proceeds at once to the scene. When a police officer sees the offense, although at a distance or hears the disturbance created thereby and proceeds at once to the scene thereof, he may effect an arrest without a warrant as the offense is deemed committed in his presence or within his view. The long-standing rule in this jurisdiction is that reliable information alone is not sufficient to justify a warrantless arrest. The rule requires in addition that the accused perform some overt act that would indicate that he has committed, is actually committing, or is attempting to commit an offense. Probable cause for warrantless arrest defined. The term probable cause has been understood to mean a reasonable ground of suspicion supported by circumstances sufficiently strong in themselves to warrant a cautious man's belief that the person accused is guilty of the offense with which he is charged. Specifically, with respect to arrest, it is such facts and circumstances which would lead a reasonably discreet and prudent man to believe that an offense has been committed by the person sought to be arrested. As applied to illegal possession of firearms, probable cause would be such facts and circumstances which would lead a reasonably discreet and prudent man to believe that a person in his possession of a firearm, that a person is in possession of a firearm and that he does not have the license or permit to possess the same. Compelling reasons constitutive of probable cause. The following telltale clues were accepted by the Supreme Court as sufficient to justify a warrantless arrest. Number 1. Bag or package emanating the pungent odor of marijuana or other prohibited drug. Number 2. Confidential report and or positive identification by informers of couriers of prohibited drugs and or the time and place where they will transport deliver the same. Number 3. Suspicious demeanor or behavior. And number 4. Suspicious bulge in the waists. In People v. Tang Liben, 184 Scra 220, 1990, the court agreed with the lower court's finding that compelling reasons, example, accused was acting suspiciously on the spot identification by an informant that accused was transporting prohibitive drugs, and the urgency of the situation constitutive of probable cause impelled police officer from effecting an in flagrante delicto arrest. But in the case the following details were not held suggestive of probable cause, persistent reports of rampant smuggling of firearm and other contraband articles accused what watercraft differing in appearance from the usual fishing boats that commonly cruise over the Bacnotan seas accused illegal entry into the Philippines. He lacked the necessary travel documents or visa, accused suspicious behavior, he attempted to flee when he saw the police authorities, and the apparent ease by which he can return to and navigate a speedboat with immediate dispatch towards the high seas beyond the reach of Philippine laws. In another case, the police officers conducted a by-bust operation against Spencer. When Spencer was arrested following the by-bust, Spencer wrenched himself free from the grasp of the police officer and instinctively ran toward the house of the accused. The members of the by-bust team ran after him and entered the house without a search warrant, for they were hot in the heels of a fleeing criminal. Once inside the house, the police officer cornered Spencer and recovered the by-bust money from him. They also caught appellant in flagrante delicto repacking the marijuana bricks, which were in full view on top of a table. It was held that when appellant was seen repacking the marijuana, the police officers were not only authorized but also duty-bound to arrest him even without a warrant. It should be stressed that the Supreme Court has already ruled that a by-bust operation is a form of entrapment which has repeatedly been accepted to be a valid means of arresting violators of the dangerous drugs law. A by-bust operation is a form of entrapment employed by peace officers as an effective way of apprehending a criminal in the act of the commission of an offense. Hence, where the fact is that accused appellant was apprehended in flagrante delicto during a by-bust operation against him, and his arrest falls within the ambit of Rule 113, Section 5A of the Rules of Criminal Procedure, an arrest without a warrant, the validity of the arrest must be sustained. In People v. Claudio, 160-646-1988, the accused, a passenger on a bus bound for Baguio City, was arrested by a policeman on the same bus because of the distinctive odor of marijuana emanating from the plastic bag she was carrying. The court held the warrantless arrest under the circumstances to be lawful, the search justified, and the evidence thus discovered admissible in evidence. In People v. Tang Liben, Supra, the accused carrying a traveling bag at a bus terminal was noticed by lawmen to be acting suspiciously and was also possibly fingered by an informer as carrying marijuana, and so he was accosted by policemen who happened to be on a surveillance mission. The lawman asked him to open the bag in which was found a package of marijuana leaves. It was held that there was a valid warrantless arrest and search incident there too. The court, in effect, considered the evidence on hand sufficient to have enabled the law enforcers to secure a search warrant had there been time, but as the case presented urgency and there was actually no time to obtain a warrant since the accused was about to board the bus, and inasmuch as an informer had given information on the spot that the accused was carrying marijuana, the search of his person and effects was thus considered valid. In People v. Maspil Jr. 188-751-1990, agents of the Narcotics Command set up a checkpoint on a highway in Atok, Benguet to check on vehicular traffic on the way to Baguio City due to confidential reports from informers that Maspil and a certain Bag King would be transporting a large quantity of marijuana. At about 2 a.m. on November 1, 1986, the two suspects riding a jeepney pulled up to the checkpoint and were made to stop. The officers noticed that the vehicle was loaded with some sacks and tin cans which, when opened, were seen to contain marijuana leaves. The court upheld the search thus conducted as being incidental to a valid warrantless arrest. In Aparanta v. People, GR number 205695, September 27, 2017, the arresting officers saw a man hand to the petitioner a small plastic sachet, which petitioner then inspected by flicking it against the light of a lamppost in an alley. When the officers approached, the two men fled. Only the petitioner was caught. When he was asked to open his hands, the officer found a small sachet with a white crystalline substance which was later tested positive for methamphetamine hydrochloride. It was held that the overt acts and circumstances was observed personally by the arresting officers and taken together it constitute reasonable suspicion that the two men were violating RA 9165. Hence, although the search preceded the arrest, it does not render invalid the search and arrest of the petitioner because the arrest and the search were substantially contemporaneous. Paragraph B, arrest affected in hot pursuit. Section 5B of this rule is known as arrest affected in hot pursuit. A peace officer or a private person may, without a warrant, arrest a person when an offense has just been committed and he has probable cause to believe, based on personal knowledge of facts or circumstances, that the person to be arrested has committed Section 5B, Rule 113. Conditions of arrest in hot pursuit. Under Section 5B of the rule, two conditions must concur for a warrantless arrest to be valid. First, the person to be arrested must have just committed an offense. And second, the arresting peace officer or private person has probable cause to believe, based on personal knowledge of facts or circumstances, that the person to be arrested is the one who committed the offense. There must be a large measure of immediacy between the time the offense was committed and the time of the arrest, and if there was an appreciable lapse of time between the arrest and the commission of the crime, a warrant of arrest must be secured. Thus, where the appellants were apprehended 2 days after the discovery of the crime, the arrest cannot be justified under any of the recognized exceptions. However, it is not enough that there is a reasonable ground to believe that the person to be arrested has committed a crime. A crime must, in fact, or actually have been committed first. That a crime has actually been committed is an essential precondition. Where a search first undertaken, then an arrest effected based on evidence produced by the search, both search and arrest would be unlawful for being contrary to law. Personal knowledge of facts. Personal knowledge of facts in arrest without a warrant, Section 5B of Rule 113, must be based upon probable cause, which means an actual belief or reasonable grounds of suspicion. The grounds of suspicion are reasonable when, in the absence of actual belief of the arresting officer, the suspicion that the person to be arrested is probably guilty of committing the offense is based on actual facts, supported by circumstances sufficiently strong in themselves to create the probable cause of guilt of the person to be arrested. A reasonable suspicion, therefore, must be founded in probable cause coupled with good faith on the part of the peace officers making the arrests. In a case, the policemen who were on patrol received a radio call from their camp directing them to proceed to the place where there was shooting. They proceeded to the place and found the victim. The bystander pointed to the accused as the one who had shot the victim. And they then arrested the accused and seized from him a .38 caliber revolver covered by a mission order and memorandum receipt. It was held that the warrantless arrest and search were valid. The arresting officers thus acted on the basis of personal knowledge of the death of the victim and of facts indicating that the accused was the assailant. The Supreme Court upheld warrantless arrest under analogous circumstances. In People versus Tonog Jr. 205 Scra 774 1992, the police found the lifeless body of a person with several stab wounds. An informer pointed to the accused as the person who had killed the victim. That afternoon, police officers arrested the accused. On their way to the police station, a policeman noticed blood stains on the accused's pants, which, when examined, was found to be the same blood type O found on the fatal knife. The court upheld the warrantless arrest and ruled that the bloodstained pants, having been seized as an incident of a lawful arrest, which was admissible in evidence. In Padilla v. Court of Appeals 269 Scra 402 1997, petitioner Robin Padilla figured in a hit-and-run accident with a Mitsubishi Pajero. The incident was witnessed by Manarang, a member of a civic group. Manarang rode his motorcycle and chased the petitioner and was able to make out the plate number PMA777. He caught the Viper through the radio, which flashed the message to all units of PNP Angeles City. PNP mobile patrols responded to the call. At the Abakan Bridge, Manarang found mobile number 3 with SBO2 Borja and SBO2 Miranda. He informed them about the hit-and-run incident. He returned to where he came from until he saw the vehicle that figured in the incident and he followed it. Soon, the vehicle was within sight of SBO2 Borja and Miranda of mobile number 3. They rode their mobile car and cut into the path of the vehicle, forcing it to stop. The police officers request petitioner to alight the vehicle. When he alighted with his hand raised, a gun tuck on the left of his waist was revealed. The gun was confiscated and his car was searched for weapons, which turned out to contain firearms and ammunition of assorted caliber. Petitioner insisted that his arrest was illegal, arguing that the policemen who actually arrested him were not at the scene of the hit and run, the Supreme Court held. We beg to disagree that Manarang decided to seek the aid of the policemen who admittedly were nowhere in the vicinity of the hit-and-run. In effecting petitioner's arrest did not in any way affect the propriety of the apprehension. It was in fact the most prudent action Manarang could have taken, rather than collaring petitioner himself, inasmuch as policemen are unquestionably better trained and well-equipped in effecting an arrest of a suspect like here in petitioner, who in all probability could have picked up a degree of resistance which an untrained civilian may not be able to contain without endangering his own life. In People v. Gerente 219 Scra 756 1993, the police arrested the accused 3 hours after the victim had been killed. They went to the scene of the crime where they found a piece of wood and a concrete hollow block used by the killers in bludgeoning the victim to death. A neighbor of the accused who witnessed the killing pointed to the accused as one of the assailants. The warrantless arrest was held valid under Rule 113, Section 5B. In Posadas v. Court of Appeals 188 Scra 288 1990, the accused was seen acting suspiciously and when accosted by 2 members of the Davao INP who identified themselves as lawmen, he suddenly fled but was pursued, subdued, and placed in custody. The booty bag he was carrying yielded an unlicensed revolver, live ammunition, and a tear gas grenade. The Supreme Court upheld his conviction for illegal possession of firearms, holding that there was under the circumstances sufficient probable cause for a warrantless search. Paragraph C, arrest of escaped prisoner. Section 5C of the rule is referred to as arrest of escaped prisoner. A peace officer or a private person may, without a warrant, arrest a person when the person to be arrested is a prisoner who has escaped from a penal establishment or place where he is serving final judgment or is temporarily confined while his case is pending or has escaped while being transferred from one confinement to another, Section 5C, Rule 113. An accused who files a fake bail bond is considered not merely to have jumped bail but, for all intents and purposes, to have escaped from detention. As such, the accused may be re-arrested without warrant. Other instances of warrantless arrest. A person may also be arrested without warrant under the following circumstances. Number 1, an accused released on bail may be re-arrested without the necessity of a warrant if he attempts to depart from the Philippines without permission of the court where the case is pending. Number 2, for the purpose of surrendering the accused, the bondsman may arrest him or upon written authority endorsed on a certified copy of the undertaking cause him to be arrested by a police officer or any other person of suitable age and discretion. Number three, if a person lawfully arrested escapes or is rescued, any person may immediately pursue or retake him without a warrant at any time and in any place within the Philippines. Cases illustrative of illegal arrests. In Posadas versus Ombudsman, 341/395/2000, NBI agents tried to arrest the accused 4 days after the commission of the crime, and they had no personal knowledge of any fact which might indicate that the accused were probably guilty of the crime except the supposed positive identification of 2 alleged eyewitnesses. It was held that the arrest without warrant by the NBI is not justified. To allow the arrest which the NBI intended to make without warrant would in effect allow them to supplant the courts. The determination of the existence of probable cause that the person to be arrested committed the crime was for the judge to make. The law authorizes a police officer or even an ordinary citizen to arrest criminal offenders only if the latter are committing or have just committed a crime. Otherwise, we cannot leave to the police officer the determination of whom to apprehend if we are to protect our civil liberties. In People v. Calves, 255/246/258/2001, the arresting officer Arturo Saligumba admitted that he arrested Calves on the basis solely of what Reynaldo Castro had told him and not because he so accused the parent commit the crime charged against him. The prosecution admitted that there was no warrant of arrest issued against accused appellant when the latter was taken into custody. It was held that considering that accused appellant was not committing a crime at the time he was arrested, nor did the arresting officer have any personal knowledge of facts indicating that accused appellant committed a crime, his arrest without warrant cannot be justified. Accused appellant's arrest was illegal. In Go versus CA 206/138/1992, petitioner's arrest took place 6 days after the shooting of Maguan. The arresting officers obviously were not present within the meaning of Section 5A at the time petitioner had allegedly shot Maguan. Neither could the arrest affected 6 days after the shooting be reasonably regarded as affected when the shooting had in fact just been committed. Within the meaning of Section 5B, moreover, none of the arresting officers had any personal knowledge of facts indicating the petitioner was the gunman who had shot Maguan. The information upon which the police acted has been derived from statements made by alleged eyewitnesses to the shooting. One stated that petitioner was the gunman, another was able to take down the alleged gunman's car's plate number, which turned out to be a registered in petitioner's wife's name. It has been held that the information did not constitute personal knowledge. It is thus clear to the court that there was no lawful warrantless arrest of petitioner within the meaning of Section 5 of Rule 113. In People v. Aruta, 288/626/1998, Police Lieutenant Abelio was tipped off by his informant that a certain Aling Rosa would be arriving from Baguio City the following day with a large volume of marijuana. Abelio formed the team and proceeded on the following day to West Bahakbahak, Olongapo City and deployed themselves in certain strategic areas while thus positioned a Victory Liner bus stop from where 2 females and a male got off. The informant pointed out to the team Aling Rosa, the accused appellant who was then carrying a traveling bag. The team approached her and introduced themselves as NARCOM agents. When Abelio asked Aling Rosa about the contents of her bag, the latter handed it to him. Upon inspection, the bag was found to contain dried marijuana leaves packed in plastic bag. Mark Cash Katutak, accused appellant, was brought to the NARCOM office for investigation. On the issue of the validity of search, the Supreme Court held that there was no legal basis for the NARCOM agents to effect a warrantless search of accused appellant's bag. There being no probable cause and accused appellant not having been lawfully arrested, stated otherwise, the arrest being incipiently illegal, it logically follows that the subsequent search was similarly illegal, it being not incidental to a lawful arrest. Accused appellant cannot be said to be committing a crime. Neither was she about to commit one, nor had she just committed a crime. She was merely crossing the street and was not acting in any manner that would engender a reasonable ground for the NARCOM agents to suspect and conclude that she was committing a crime. It was only when the informant pointed to accused appellant and identified her to the agents as the carrier of the marijuana that she was singled out as a suspect. Arrest by invitation, illegal. Under RA number 7438, the so-called invitation of a person in connection with an offense he is suspected to have committed is a prohibited act for which the inviting officer may be held liable under Section 2, Paragraph F and 4. Mere invitation is covered by the prescription on a warrantless arrest because it is intended for not other reason than to conduct an investigation. Thus, were the arrest of the accused, which the arresting officers ostensibly referred to as an invitation, was illegal, so was the subsequent search and seizure of the stolen items from him. He was alleged already singled out as a prime suspect in the grisly deed, yet the police failed to obtain a warrant for his arrest. His warrantless arrest did not fall under the exceptions provided for in the rules of court. Consequently, whatever was seized from him could not be used against them. This conclusion is consonant with the raison d'etre of the exclusionary rule. In a case, petitioner was charged of kidnapping before the National Bureau of Investigation. He received a subpoena from the chief of the Anti-Organized Crime Division of the NBI to appear before him and give his evidence in connection with the complaint. When petitioner presented himself at the NBI, he was placed under arrest and prevented from going back home. It was held that petitioner was unlawfully arrested without a warrant. Section 6. Time of making arrest. An arrest may be made on any day and at any time of the day or night. Section 7. Method of arrest by officer by virtue of warrant. When making an arrest by virtue of a warrant, the officer shall inform the person to be arrested of the cause of the arrest and the fact that a warrant has been issued for his arrest, except when he flees or forcibly resists before the officer has opportunity to so inform him, or when the giving of such information will imperil the arrest. The officer need not have the warrant in his possession at the time of the arrest, but after the arrest, if the person arrested so requires, the warrant shall be shown to him as soon as practicable. Annotations: informing the person to be arrested. The officer making the arrest must inform the accused of the cause of the arrest and the fact that a warrant has been issued for his arrest. Such information, however, need not be given under any of the following. Letter A. When the accused flees or forcibly resists before the officer has opportunity to so inform him. Or letter B. When the giving of such information will imperil the arrest under Section 7, Rule 108.13. Exhibition of warrant. The above quoted rule clearly allows a police officer to effect arrest without the warrant in his possession at the time of the arrest. But it was also held that at the time a person is arrested, it shall be the duty of the arresting officer to inform him of the reason for his arrest, and he must be shown the warrant for his arrest, if any. Section 8. Method of arrest by officer without warrant. When making an arrest without a warrant, the officer shall inform the person to be arrested of his authority and the cause of the arrest, unless the latter is either engaged in the commission of an offense, is pursued immediately after its commission, has escaped, flees, or forcibly resists before the officer has opportunity to so inform him, or when the giving of such information will imperil the arrest. Section 9. Method of arrest by private person. When making an arrest, a private person shall inform the person to be arrested of the intention to arrest him and the cause of the arrest, unless the latter is either engaged in the commission of an offense, is pursued immediately after its commission, or has escaped, flees, or forcibly resists before the person making the arrest has opportunity to so inform him, or when the giving of such information will imperil the arrest. Annotations. Informing the person to be arrested. The arresting officer or person must inform the person to be arrested of the officer's authority or the private person's intention to arrest him and the cause of the arrest, but the person to be arrested need not be so informed under any of the following situations. When the person to be arrested is engaged in the commission of a crime, letter A. Next, letter B. When he is pursued immediately after the commission of the crime, letter C. When he has escaped, flees, or forcibly resists before the officer or person making the arrest has opportunity to so inform him, or letter D. When the giving of such information will imperil the arrest, Section 8 and 9, Rule 113. Section 10. Officer may summon assistance. An officer making a lawful arrest may orally summon as many persons as he deems necessary to assist him in effecting the arrest. Every person so summoned by an officer shall assist him in effecting the arrest when he can render such assistance without detriment to himself. Annotations. Personality of summoned persons. All persons who come to the aid of agents of authority and also all public functionaries are entitled to be considered as agents of authority. It being understood, nevertheless, that in order that the person who come to the aid of agents of authority may be considered as agents of authority, it is an essential condition that they lend assistance by virtue of an order or request of such agent of authority. Accordingly, these persons are given the protection of Article 149 of the Revised Penal Code, wherein if attacked, the offender will be liable for indirect assault. Section 11, right of officer to break into building or enclosure. An officer, in order to make an arrest, either by virtue of warrant or without a warrant, as provided in Section 5, may break into any building or enclosure where the person to be arrested is or is reasonably believed to be, if he is refused admittance thereto after announcing his authority and purpose. Section 12, right to break out from building or enclosure. Whenever an officer has entered the building or enclosure in accordance with the preceding section, he may break out therefrom when necessary to liberate himself. Annotations. Officer's right to break in or out. The officer making the arrest may break into any building or enclosure to effect the arrest if he is refused admittance thereto after announcing his authority and purpose, and he may break out therefrom in order to liberate himself. Section 11 and 12, Rule 113. These rights are not available to a private person making a warrantless arrest under Section 5 of this rule. Section 13, arrest after escape or rescue. If a person lawfully arrested escapes or is rescued, any person may immediately pursue or retake him without a warrant at any time and in any place within the Philippines. Annotation. The situation contemplated in this provision is different from Section 5C, Rule 112. In this provision, the person to be arrested has been previously lawfully arrested and has escaped before he was delivered to the judicial authorities. In such a case, any person may recapture or re-arrest him without a warrant at any time and anywhere in the Philippines. Section 14. Right of attorney or relative to visit arrested, person arrested. Any member of the Philippine Bar shall, at the request of the person arrested or of another acting in his behalf, have the right to visit and confer privately with such person in the jail or any other place of custody at any hour of the day or night, subject to reasonable regulations. A relative of the person arrested can also exercise the same rights. Annotation, arrestee's right to be visited. Any person arrested or detained or under custodial investigation shall be allowed visits by or conferences with any member of his immediate family or any medical doctor or priest or religious minister chosen by him or by any member of his immediate family or by his counsel or by any national non-governmental organization duly accredited by the Commission on Human Rights or by any international non-governmental organization duly accredited by the Office of the President. The person's immediate family shall include his or her spouse, fiancé or fiancée, parent or child, brother or sister, grandparent or grandchild, uncle or aunt, nephew or nieces, and guardian or ward. That's Section 2F, RA 7438. Attorney's right to visit and confer with arrestee. Any member of the Philippine Bar shall, at the request of the person arrested or of another acting in his behalf, have the right to visit and confer privately with such person in the jail or any other place of custody at any hour of the day or night, Section 13, Rule 113. Any person who obstructs, prevents, or prohibits any lawyer, any member of the immediate family of a person arrested, detained, or under custodial investigation, or any medical doctor, or priest, or religious minister, or by his counsel from visiting and conferring privately, chosen by him or by any member of his immediate family with him, or from examining and treating him, or from ministering to his spiritual needs at any hour of the day or in urgent cases of the night, shall suffer the penalty of imprisonment of not less than 4 years, nor more than 6 years, and a fine of 4,000 pesos. Section 4, RA 7438.